Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided.
Yep.
Welcome. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, July 27th, 2023. We're sort of banging through the headlines today as evidence of how wild and dystopic things are these days. I mentioned at the end of the last hour, just in passing, you know, speaking of some of the things that we see going on, especially the headline that I mentioned from CBN, published on RBN as part of the headlines at republicbroadcasting.org. When American Idol star realized Satan was real, he left the occult and followed Jesus instead. So it's interesting. I said, you know, I've mentioned the concept of the moral economy. I mentioned it particularly because we played that clip that we play of Angus Bergen back in April 2020 saying, you know, it's a misnomer to think that when the crisis arises, the reimagining happens well in advance, often, you know, long in advance, often decades before the crisis arises, so that policymakers, which are not really policymakers, they are celebrities that are used to endorse these things. You know, that's why they call Washington, D.C., Hollywood for ugly people. These policymakers, Bergen said, can reach to the shelf and experiment with things that are already there, ready to go. So they're imagining a new moral economy immediately in the throes of COVID. They're not worried about, oh my gosh, this could be an existential threat. They're imagining a new moral economy. What is a moral economy? And so we talked about that a little bit, which, I mean, that to me is how wild and dystopic the times are. That should tell us all something. They're not concerned about COVID wiping out mankind. They're reimagining a new moral economy, or imagining a new moral economy. But actually, the imagining happened long before, decades before, as Angus Bergen revealed. So what is this concept of a moral economy? Like I said, I think that, you know, in the absence of a biblical foundation, you have to ask these kinds of questions. Why? Because of sin. It's a sinful, fallen world. We are all sinful, fallen creatures, and we're gonna do wrong by one another. Eventually, it's just the way we are and the way the world is. But a moral economy, to me, is found in the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. There you go. It's that simple. There's your moral economy. It's that easy. Plain and simple. But without God, obviously you have to start introducing these questions. E.P. Thompson is considered the sort of progenitor of this concept, sort of formalizing the concept, although he wasn't the first to really talk about it. He's credited with being the guy who sort of formalized the concept back in the 70s. And it's classic Marxist class struggle nonsense. Anyway, the point I was making at the end of the last hour, speaking of this character, is it's interesting. It's always interesting to me how these types, they always have some kind of what people might call a Christian Orthodox upbringing, or some derivation thereof. Not really orthodox, because I think if it was, they wouldn't depart from it. But they might. And the Bible even talks about people like that. And if you were a nefarious and sinister character, like the type that, you know, speaking of the article, Jimmy Levy, the American Idol star, like he's talking about, if you were one of those characters, you, if you wanted to kind of turn to world evil in the fashion that Philip Zimbardo talks about, you know, the concept of ponderology, or the Lucifer effect, how good people turn evil. If you want to do that to people, you know, here's a good method. Maybe you popularize folks who are sort of cut from this cloth. The folks who have an animosity toward God, essentially. The Karl Marx, the Carl Jung types, who have this sort of upbringing, like E.P. Thompson, who was born to missionary parents, Methodist missionary parents, and had kind of a Christian upbringing, has this reactionary experience, ends up identifying as a Marxist communist, which is anti-God, anti-Bible, and the Marxist bent is particularly distheistic. Distheism is the belief that God is not wholly good, can even be considered evil, and then eventually misotheistic, or, you know, an outright hatred of God, which you read in Psalm 2. So, in Psalm 2, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. I think what's been happening over the last several hundred years coincides with this agenda, which also I think coincides with, again, the return to Genesis 11, the finishing of the great unfinished work. And, you know, as I was sort of unpacking yesterday, I think that there are a number of people and people groups who are exploited. Folks with this kind of a background, like E.P. Thompson, Karl Marx, Carl Jung, I think get exploited because of their dystheistic and misotheistic views. They're weaponized and exploited. There is an effort to, you know, scientists have isolated the regions in the brain that light up, so to speak, based on input or stimulus and based on output or response, but they don't know exactly how the black box works, that controls the output based on input. They're not exactly sure where that is and how that works. And I would say that's because we are designed to be in touch with our Creator. He is our black box. He is our Deus Ex Machina. But the black box is a very esoteric concept that you see all over the place. Big tech is obsessed with the little black box and the sacred geometry that surrounds it. And they're constantly pressing in to try to be the Deus Ex Machina, the god of the machine known as man. And so along the way, you have guys like E.P. Thompson, I think, who are exploited, and many times unbeknownst to them. It's interesting, though, how these guys always end up coming from a particular quarter in society. I think this is a coup for the devil to be able to say, look, this person was a defector from some form of Christianity, so-called, ends up having a kind of a distheistic or a misotheistic view, and then suddenly becomes the voice for things like, in Edward Palmer Thompson's case, the moral economy, so-called. But again, I mean, I would argue that a moral economy is a simple concept: do unto others as you would have done unto you. Part of the New Left, Thompson played, you know, according to Wikipedia, Thompson played a key role in the first New Left in Britain in the late 1950s. And it's just interesting to see how the world is being counterfeited, essentially. There, again, like I said yesterday, there's nothing really new happening, really nothing new, but all things are being counterfeited. And who is interested in counterfeiting things? Romans chapter 1 talks about this. So I just thought that was an interesting sort of aside. I find it fascinating that you always find these types in these discussions. The Marxist, anti-God, distheistic, misotheistic types, those kinds of views. Back to the headlines. Crazy headlines. I think the first one that I will mention is what was the one that reminded me? Oh, I know what it was. Hat tip to James in Vancouver. The Zero Hedge article republished over on republicbroadcasting.org. EV suspected in fire of massive cargo ship carrying 3,000 cars. And so the primary source being the Agence France-Presse article, electric car suspended or suspected in ship fire off Netherlands. And so from the Zero Hedge article, a fire on a ship, which is the republication of the Agence France-Presse article, a fire on a ship carrying 3,000 cars off the Netherlands coast is suspected of being started by an electric vehicle and killed one sailor. Could burn for days, Dutch Coast Guard told AFP News. Fire broke out late Tuesday night on board the roll-on, roll-off ship off the northern Dutch coast. The fire could still burn for days, stated a Coast Guard official who spoke on condition of anonymity. Ship is being cooled to keep it stable. Only the side of the ship is being sprayed, not the deck, said the official. Fremantle Highway is carrying 3,000 vehicles. Of those 3,000, 25 are EVs, a Coast Guard official told the NOS public broadcaster, adding there's a suspicion that one of those 25 EVs started the blaze. And so one cannot help but be reminded of precisely the point that James in Vancouver has raised along these lines. And what happens when the other 24 or so catch fire? Continuing from the article, rescue ships and helicopters have evacuated 23 crew members. However, one individual lost their life due to the fire. Should the vessel sink, quote, it would be a disaster of the highest order, end quote, the daily paper, Der Telegraph, said. Bloomberg ship tracking data shows Fremantle Highway left the German port of Bremen on Tuesday. The vessel appears to have deviated off course about 5 p.m. local time Tuesday, an indication of possibly when the fire broke out. Quote, currently, several parties, including salvagers and the Dutch authorities, are looking at minimizing the damage as much as possible, end quote, the Coast Guard said. Shipping company Wallenius Wilhelmsen warned earlier this year, shipping companies are facing an added concern with the increasing demand for electric vehicles. Fires on board vessels can have catastrophic consequences, and battery fires are extra potent and dangerous. Li-ion batteries generate extreme heat when they malfunction, often reaching temperatures of 800 degrees Celsius or higher. This heat can quickly spread to nearby combustible materials, causing a rapid fire that's challenging to extinguish. Controlling battery fires is nearly impossible and might indicate Fremantle Highway could burn for days, if not longer. So I just thought that was ironic. James in Vancouver and I have had this conversation a couple of times fairly recently on air, and here, what do you know? Here's a story. We can expect more of these stories. So again, you know, if this is the case, how safe and how great for the environment and how sustainable, you know, this doesn't even get into the subject of how bad for the environment, how harmful it is to create these vehicles and the batteries in particular, something that we've discussed on this network and this broadcast several times. So, you know, in a sense, this reminds me of the vaccine discussion, the acceptable level of risk with vaccines. You know, Del Big Tree talking about sitting down with the CDC and FDA and saying, so what is the actual number? You guys talk about the acceptable level of risk. What is the number? Is it a percentage? Is it a number of people? We played the clip of Bobby Kennedy Jr. Talking about the unavoidably unsafe history of vaccines. And, you know, of course, along the way, I mentioned the spin control article by Chris Mueller over at USA Today, titled "No, the Supreme Court Didn't Declare Vaccines Unavoidably Unsafe." It's, you know, mentioning the Bruce Woods v. Wyeth 2011 case that was really kind of, you know, I would call it more sophistry than anything, wrangling about the definition of unavoidable or unavoidable. And, you know, that's a whole different discussion. Anyway, what is the acceptable level of risk? So when we're driving these electric vehicles, what is the acceptable level of risk? It reminds one of the, you know, the exploding Ford Pinto, for example. If it gets rear-ended, just, you know, it's fine, drive it. Just don't get rear-ended. You'll be fine. It's okay. And it won't explode. So what is the acceptable level of risk? You know, I mean, if your electric vehicle is charging and malfunctions, you know, it's charging in your garage and burns the house down, kind of like we've seen with the smart meters, what is the acceptable level of risk? That doesn't happen all the time. No, but, you know, it's an acceptable level of risk, I think, until it's your house or your family that is killed in the fire caused by these devices. And so I think that's a provocative aspect of this technology. Should have us asking questions. Why are we being pushed so hard to adopt this technology when it's clearly unsafe? And again, back to the issue of rolling blackouts, for example, as the call for more electric vehicles comes at the same time we see increasing rolling blackouts. So we're supposed to reconcile that. Mentally, it doesn't seem to, the two don't go together well. Next headline, no, we're headed into a break. So we gotta, hold off on that. Are we headed?
Why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry. It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Go to the phones real quick and grab Chris in Virginia. Chris, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, real quick, Chris, can I make a comment about the EVs?
Yeah.
As you were speaking about the ship, I was in general with EVs, well, first of all, that I heard that there were only a small number of EVs on the ship, and most of them were gas cars, and the type of ship it was a roll-on, roll-off. So all the cars had to have a little tiny bit of gas in them, right? And so anyway, that's just an interesting detail. But in general, well, I mean, you know, people can say, oh, well, there were gas cars there, too. Well, guess what? All that gasoline burns off way quicker than the batteries do. So in general, I notice that when discussing with basically left-leaning friends of mine, liberals, whatnot, they're very defensive about the EVs and try to say, well, there's just as many car fires, and there's just as many car fires. But you know what? Those fires burn out pretty quick, right? Number one, that's a fact. It takes forever. You can't put these battery fires out. And number two, there is a degree of predictability, like you said, an accessible, acceptable level of risk with a gas tank, because we've just lived with cars for so long that we know what to do, what not to do, basic safety things. But compared to an EV, no, I'm sorry. Like you say, it's a ticking time bomb. Maybe you didn't say that, but to me, that's what I'm saying. That thing's a time bomb. One more thing I'll add. If you look on YouTube, you can see where people take lithium batteries, little tiny AA batteries, and take them apart and take the lithium strip out and throw it in a bowl of water. And guess what happens? A very, very aggressive reaction that ends up with usually an explosion at the very end. So you know what that tells me, Chris? What finds a way? What always finds a way? Water, right? This is my big, huge thing that I think is being a held secret from the public, is that they're afraid because they don't have another technology yet. They have to use the lithium ion technology. Guess what? The water is going to get to them batteries somehow. And that's what's causing a lot of these fires. That's my theory. And they're holding back from the public that, oh, you want to keep water. By the way, did you know what water and lithium, you know what happens when the two mix? Right? I think that they're deliberately keeping that from the public, because if the public knew, because everyone knows about water, everyone knows water gets in everywhere. It's hard to keep it out. You know, you really have to be diligent. If people really knew how dangerous lithium and water were when you mix them together, I guarantee you it would affect EV sales and the public opinion of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there have been, you can do searches for that kind of. There are videos, YouTube videos, like lithium batteries dropped in water. You know, the explosions that you're talking about, and there have been a number of news reports done on this. ABC News Australia did a report earlier this year, actually. Firefighters warn of enormous EV fire consequences, for example.
Okay. So what did that fire department say again? I'm sorry.
The news report from ABC News Australia was titled "Firefighters Warn of Enormous EV Fire Consequences." So I'm just saying there are a number of news reports that have come out about this, but most people are not aware, and especially the folks that you're talking about, which is, you know, to me that reminds me of the kind of Stockholm syndrome people suffer from when they endorse something and they're sort of taken hostage by their kidnappers, and everybody wants to save face. Nobody wants to say, hey, I'm the idiot who, you know, was a first adopter or who supported this, endorsed it, whatever.
Right. And it reminds me of the COVID phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So basically you've got, oh, it's okay. We can drive an EV. Even if I die, I'm still cool, right? I'm still one of the cool kids. I'm sitting at the cool table, even though I'm going to die. That's how sick people are, right?
And, you know, I mean, the fire departments are talking about this. Another news report a couple of years ago. Come back. Stick around, folks. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Bottom of the second hour. Speaking of the, there are a number of, you know, stories that we could talk about with this. There are news articles and reports of the the way that the story goes, I think that the statistics are sort of skewed. I think it's on a per capita basis. Basically, what we've been told historically is that the EV car fires are not more common or more frequent than the gas-powered internal combustion stuff. But I think that's disingenuous. And I think we're starting to see that now in more recent years. And so maybe what we'll do is play a couple of clips here, a couple of news reports. The one that I was going to mention just before the break is from WKRC Cincinnati, Local 12. This is a report a couple of years ago titled EV Fires Are Tough to Fight and Pose New Hazards Inside the Race to Get Responders Ready. Now, if you're a firefighter or you are a fire department and you hear some of the things that can happen with this technology, just ask yourself if you want to be around this stuff. You know, you get trained to handle certain things. Is everyone going to have carry like a halon extinguisher in their Tesla or something? You wonder. Can we actually just play this first clip? The one from WKRC.
More common than standard car fires, but they do require a different approach.
Yeah, Josie Sturman explains why it's a race against time to get first responders ready.
It was bizarre from the beginning. California firefighters attacking a fire that began when a car crashed into a garage, sparking a blaze that also ignited the house. It's the kind of scenario firefighters are well trained to handle. But in this case, there was a twist, an electric vehicle at the center of it all.
And I just remember some of our firefighters standing there shooting so much water at that electric vehicle and it not going out. It was just like something I'd never seen.
That electric vehicle not only burned for hours, but once the fire was out, it reignited on the tow truck.
From the get-go, I got to see what exactly, you know, a fire involving electric vehicle can do and the dangers they possess.
It's an education firefighters across the country are getting as they encounter fires involving electric vehicles, or EVs. It's such a new phenomenon, there's no nationwide data tracking how often they happen. But Spotlight on America uncovered at least 24 serious fires in recent years from coast to coast. This Tesla spontaneously burst into flames on a West Hollywood street. This one in Pennsylvania burned until there was nothing left but a charred shell. And this Chevy Bolt went up in smoke in Virginia, stunning its owner.
It took them an hour to get it under control with tons and tons of water. It flared up again. The firemen, you know, came back and did the whole thing again. Just more and more water.
It can take potentially 10 times more water to knock down an EV fire than a standard car fire. Bruce Bouch with the U.S. Fire Administration says they've seen scenarios where it took as much as 10,000 gallons. That's because of the batteries inside, which can be incredibly tough to cool. And as this test showed, can even generate enough heat to ignite themselves, even 24 hours after appearing to be put out.
That's when it becomes a problem because you have to cool that, and it's trapped within a case. So how do you do that? With a lot of water.
It's the kind of thing experts at the Maryland Fire Rescue Institute have long understood. They've been at the forefront of figuring out how to tackle EV fires. Spotlight on America got an exclusive look at the training they're giving to first responders in Maryland and beyond.
So this is a completely different ballgame when you have an electric vehicle involved in an accident or a fire.
100%. There's a lot more hazards that are presented to us.
Hazards ranging from those fires that reignite long after being extinguished to the potential of electric shock due to these orange high voltage lines.
So the voltage is high enough that...
Instructor Jason Leone says fighting these EV fires requires a different mindset and approach. Just accessing the batteries is its own struggle.
In some cars, the battery packs are in the front, some are in the back, some are underneath, some are in the trunk, and the fuse boxes are in different places also, which makes it a huge challenge for us.
It's a lot of information you have to know and retain and be able to recall in just a couple seconds.
A ton. Very difficult to do, especially in the middle of the night or under high stress situations.
That's why he told us training is so essential. But as we're discovering, even with a rapidly growing list of makes and models of EVs on the road, the training needed to fight their fires isn't keeping pace.
A lot of jurisdictions don't have that. A lot of states don't have that. So if you're not staying on top of it, you will just get left behind.
Left behind in a battle to keep first responders safe as the popularity of electric vehicles on our roads accelerates. I'm Josie Sturman for Spotlight on America.
And coming up next week, Spotlight on America reveals the findings of a months-long nationwide investigation into who's getting the training needed to fight these EV fires and why some places may be less prepared than others.
Exactly. So, you know, you when you start looking into this, you find out, I mean, are people really well versed in the details of what can possibly happen related to the lithium ion batteries in these electric vehicles? They call it thermal runaway, by the way, when these kinds of fires break out, which is a situation where basically it's kind of a unique situation. You think of the magnesium fires that sort of gave rise to the need for halon extinguishers. You have the fire triangle usually, and this is one of those situations like magnesium fires where it doesn't operate in typical fashion, fire triangle sort of fashion. You have thermal runaway where it's the process that is accelerated by increased temperature, which in turn increases the release of energy that increases temperature. It's this cycle that continues, and the more that continues, you approach these situations where the batteries can actually explode, thermal runaway. And because of the heat, this is always a possibility. You know, how do you keep this thing cool enough that it doesn't spontaneously combust, as has been seen? I think one of the things that's interesting, Wikipedia actually has an entry for plug-in electric vehicle fire incidents. And under the section titled Background, you have a section titled Frequency of Vehicle Fires. Despite what we keep hearing in news reports, Wikipedia says fire incidents in highway-capable vehicles occur relatively frequently. A study of U.S. fires from 2003 to 2007 finds that the department's fire departments respond to an average of 287,000 vehicle fires per year, or 30 vehicle fires per hour, and that vehicles were involved in 17% of all reported U.S. fires. The study also finds that roughly 53 highway vehicle fires and 0.15 highway vehicle fire deaths were reported per billion miles driven. Then there's the section on thermal runaway. Lithium ion batteries may suffer thermal runaway or cell rupture if overheated or overcharged. And in extreme cases, this can lead to combustion. To reduce these risks, lithium ion battery packs contain fail-safe circuitry that shuts down the battery when its voltage is outside the safe range. When handled improperly or if manufactured defectively, so where is this technology manufactured? Or if manufactured defectively, some rechargeable batteries can experience thermal runaway, resulting in overheating. Sealed cells will sometimes explode violently if safety vents are overwhelmed or non-functional. Reports of exploding cell phones have been published in newspapers. In 2006, batteries from Apple, HP, Toshiba, Lenovo, Dell, and other notebook manufacturers were recalled because of fire and explosions. But, you know, as James in Vancouver has pointed out, this is on a significantly larger scale. This approaches biological and even nuclear weapons, that kind of a scale, like a small suitcase nuke kind of thing. And this stuff can burn for sometimes days. And the off-gassing, obviously, is another huge concern. So it's interesting. In conjunction with, since we're talking about it, there are a number of other videos you can watch. For example, there's the other news report. We could play that, maybe the more recent update. And again, every time you hear about this, you hear about the title of the news report I mentioned previously, Firefighters Warn of Enormous EV Fire Consequences. Can we just play that one too? Why not? Please. Yeah, please.
Headlines about electric vehicle fires are becoming more common worldwide.
His car was towed to a shop where it then burst into flames.
And with the number of EVs only increasing on Australia's roads, the Firefighters Union is concerned.
There's no greater likelihood of an electric vehicle fire than a combustion engine car fire. But when they happen, the risks are huge.
The biggest cause of such fires is so-called thermal runaway from the batteries.
And that is where that heat build up and the current flowing in the cells causes the ones adjacent to it to start going into a chain reaction.
Newer models do have safeguards built in, but the Firefighters Union says a major concern is the location of charging stations, often in garages and underground or multi-storey car parks. And when it comes to putting out a blaze, the union says a typical combustion engine car fire takes between 1,100 and 1,400 litres of water or foam to fully extinguish. While a fire in an electric vehicle, which involves the batteries burning at a much higher temperature, can take up to 30,000 litres of water to put out completely.
So then there's the question of where do you get the water? And what do you do with that water once it's contaminated? And how do you get that water into something like a multi-storey car park?
We just take tanker appliances rather than pumpers to provide us with the larger volume of water that we need.
There's also an emerging risk to first responders.
Even with the very best protective clothing and firefighters being covered from head to toe, they run the risk of cobalt poisoning. That can be career-ending.
The ACT government and Fire and Rescue have just spent millions of dollars upgrading to the latest standard of personal protective equipment, which includes a vapour barrier.
Small steps towards future-proofing are already being taken.
Being rated not to only do combustible fuels and combustible solids and liquids, but this has been designed to put out lithium battery fires.
Yes, we're getting on with it. But I would say that it's nowhere near comprehensive enough.
Trying to prepare for and prevent the worst case scenario. Emma Thompson, ABC News, Canberra.
So there you go. That's a more recent news report. And issue's not going away. Let me just throw in a couple other fun little things. NTSB actually has, they released a report back in 2020, safety risks to emergency responders from lithium ion battery fires in electric vehicles. That's an interesting report. And there's actually a video corresponding to that. A YouTube video titled Lithium Ion Battery Fires in Electric Vehicles, Safety Risk to Emergency Responders from NTSB.gov YouTube channel. But, you know, the more pedestrian kind of stuff, we played the news reports that I wanted to mention. A couple other things. The CarGuys.tv YouTube channel did a good video last year, The Big EV Lie, Why They Won't Save the Planet, and All About Dirty Electricity. That's a fantastic video. I'm actually surprised it's still on YouTube. There are others. The Donut YouTube channel, Why Tesla Fires Are Impossible to Put Out. Scotty Kilmer is renowned for his car advice YouTube channel, his eponymous YouTube channel, and he did a great video about 8 months ago, back in November of 2022, titled New Study on Electric Car Deaths Shocks the Entire Car Industry. The description reads, Electric Car versus Gasoline Car Review, New Study on Electric Car Deaths Shocks the Entire Car Industry, Electric Car Review, Worst Electric Cars to Buy, etc., etc., and so that's an interesting entry in the discussion as well. Reactions, YouTube channel, Why Are Electric Vehicles Fires So Hard to Put Out? It's all the same sort of discussion. The technology is problematic, to say the least, And but this is the society we live in, and the big problem with this, I forget exactly how Nikki Rapana put it, but you remember the communitarian fascist bent is to enforce your views on everyone else around you. And so here's the big problem. In this society, maybe I don't, you know, we talk about the wireless, speaking of dirty power, which I consider to be one of the four horsemen of the health apocalypse. We talk about dirty power from time to time. Maybe I don't want to be inundated with the millimeter wave 5G technology or whatever, but it's becoming inescapable. If you're living in a so-called smart city that's great for robots, bad for people, it's unavoidable. It's inescapable. And so in that sense, I guess your city becomes unavoidably unsafe. Very, very bad, very harmful for the physiology of people. But what do? How do you avoid it? Now all of these vehicles have this technology, but wait, it's worse because the electric vehicles endanger. It's not just the person who doesn't do the research on the Tesla that might spontaneously combust or explode in their garage while it's charging. It's the whole neighborhood that might be in danger. The smart meters, same thing. We've played those news reports from Southern California. One house goes up and the whole neighborhood goes up. Fun stuff. So, but this is the communitarian world we live in. Anyway, appreciate your call, Chris. Thank you. Much appreciated. As always, back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I'm having deja vu. Can you hear me? Over?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm having deja vu on that car carrier fire. There was another one, I think, a couple of years ago off the coast of South America, a Spanish one that it just sank, and it had all kinds of exotic cars on it. This is 2 or 3 years ago. Brand new cars, really expensive ones. So the mega elite that were expecting those cars, you know, they're going to be, they've got to know about this, you know. You would think they could get in front of it, unless they're so Epstein'd and controlled. I mean, in case they don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. I mean, when did that movie come out? 1998 or something? The Truman Show, 15-minute city, you can't leave. Cameras everywhere. We're living it, and they just got to get rid of gasoline. Now, I think they are going to end up creating a Mad Max type scenario, because did you know that gasoline comes off of a lot of natural gas wells and it doesn't even need to refine that much? It's called wet natural gas, and it's basically gasoline. So they're going to have to, there'll be an underground black market for that, you know, so people can run their secret gas engines that they've got stashed away, I guess, until there's no more parts available. But whatever they make illegal, it just makes it more lucrative, I think. And even when it comes to trafficking in children, I wouldn't call for legalizing that. We need to get a, you know, this vast surveillance network. You'd think they'd catch more of them. Kentucky State Police does. I mean, they'll announce, you know, catching these little guys. But I don't know about other states if they're cracking down on it like they are, but, you know, here in my end of the state anyway, everybody that I could tell about it knows about the dragnet of X-Keyscore and IC Reach. And even the German government was smart enough to start putting their phones in metal boxes after the Snowden leak.
Yeah.
I can't believe Angela Merkel and her intelligence people didn't know about it already for 20-some years, but the best thing for putting out the cars that are on fire, it came from a junkyard fire in, I think, Portland. And they put the dang thing out like 3 or 4 times, and finally they got the bright idea of digging a hole, filling it full of water, and dragging the car in there and leaving it sit underwater.
So, which obviously is fantastic for the environment, too. So,
yeah, what do you do with the tainted water? And lithium, by the way, displaces electrolytes in your heart. So contaminate more of the water with lithium, you can get rid of people. Like in Logan's Run, right? It's just once their productivity is starting to fall off about 50 or 55, they just need to die. I think that's Rahm Emanuel's model, right?
Or Bill Gates, you know, the last 3 months of life are really expensive, and so, you know, but who decides when the last 3 months of life are?
A committee of your family and loved ones or something, maybe.
Yeah, but that's called a death panel, and we can't have that conversation, Bill Gates says.
I'll let you go. I know you're running short. You may have another call and piles of
thank
news.
You. All right. Much appreciated, as always. Last little wrinkle I want to throw in here. Here's a bit of provocative irony. Remember the news coverage, the Japanese young lady, citizen journalist, who interviewed the World Economic Forum VIP driver? Can we play a little bit of that clip, please?
What about your car?
My car is normal because for VIP I cannot drive electric auto.
I just interviewed one driver. He was very nice, but he said it was stressful yesterday. Okay, now I'm going to interview one of the driver. He does not prefer to show his face, but agreed to the interview. I'm so grateful. So how are you doing tonight?
Tonight it's well, like yesterday also. I begin yesterday, but it's stress out. It's really, you know, cold too, and many traffics, and a lot of people. VIPs all almost come today because tomorrow they beginning. It's chaos, like they say at Germany, yeah.
What kind of people do you drive for?
I cannot say.
Okay, I understand.
VIP too.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I saw Uber cars.
Yes.
On the side, it says 100 electricity.
That's right.
Yes.
All Tesla and all electricity, because here they need without, you know, gas or without petrol, only electricity to drive here with Uber. Yes, I know that.
What about your car?
My car is normal because for VIP I cannot drive electricity auto.
Yes. I have this question.
Okay, that's good. You know, how about that for irony? So you know what, they advertise it for the plebs, but the VIPs at the World Economic Forum at Davos do not want to be driven around in these. I wonder why. Would you want to ride around in something that might spontaneously combust at any moment? Imagine that. I think that's a good place to end it. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Please pray for one another. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.